Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. It is the last preview show with Mick and no Christian today, but in his stead, we have the very lovely Farrell Keelan from Empire of the Cop. Farrell, how are you doing?
Oh, doing very well, mate. Thank you for inviting me on. It's always a pleasure being here.
Yeah, I just loved like when I said we're going to do a show, you posted a tweet. I was like, oh, I'm going to be joined by Mick and Christian soon. I was like, nah, he's not coming on. He's a part-timer.
Always like seeing him.
It's an easy hook, line, and sinker with Christian. It's always fun. But yeah, before we get into the clock presser and team news and score predictions and everything else that we usually do, just wanted to talk about the award. Just wanted to say congratulations on getting a Best Premier League Club Content Creator at the FCA's at Anfield. And we were talking about before we started recording about the it being at Anfield, and of course, like yourselves, Empire of the Cop, and Anfield Rap, and Redmen TV, all doing well. But yeah, congrats on the award, massive achievement.
No, thank you very much. I have to say, because I didn't actually say it at the time, I was a bit flustered. But you know, obviously it's not just me, and certainly there are other lads in the team who've put in an absolutely tremendous amount of work. Liam Toher, Max Rudd, Peter Kenny Jones, my teammates at Empire of the Cop, of course, my editor Jordan Chamberlain. Yeah, no, absolutely couldn't done it without them all. And like I was saying to you before we started the podcast, it was just it was special to be able to do it at Anfield, and it was special to be, you know, seeing the best content makers Liverpool had to offer doing well, even those that didn't, you know, win an award, that were certainly nominated, likes of, you know, Bootlebucks, Rupa Vyas, I believe she did win with her game too. Just a great night and a really superb night for just showing the best that Liverpool has to offer.
Yeah, massively. It's obviously great news when you can see Liverpool fan podcast doing really well. It's good stuff. But yeah, let's get stuck into the Klopp press conference then, because it was earlier today, and of course, I imagine most people were waiting with bated breath straight away for news of Alisson, news of Jota, and of course, he got asked about that, and kind of what he said was, I mean, he doesn't really give dates, and I'm sure he tells players not to give dates, because even the Robbo one, he didn't say anything. And I mean, Robbo got, I think he got interviewed after the Scotland game, and he was kind of saying, I'm going to take it day by day. The usual stuff, they don't want to put pressure on it and whatever. But I think it seems like Alisson's going to be back sooner, which I think we all kind of expected. Jota one, Jota's looked innocuous, but I guess they're always the worst ones in a way. So it looks like he's going to be out. Alisson's going to be out for a couple of weeks. I think, hopefully, up with fingers crossed, Man United on the 17th of December might be a viable return. That'll be massive because I think in that chunk of games, you've got United, West Ham and Arsenal all at home. So it's a great time to get someone massive as Alisson back and Jota probably back in the new year sometime. But yeah, just disappointing, really, just to pick up those in a, I mean, we haven't spoke about the City game and whatever, but in that good result, it always seems to be tinged by something, which is a bit annoying. But I guess the main one, and no, not disparaging Jota at all, because he's been key with some goals and whatever this season, but not having Alisson is massive. But the fact that it's only for potentially a couple of weeks is I'm very happy by that.
Yeah, no, it's very good news. I mean, you're right, Sir. I think Klopp was quite sort of vague about it, wasn't he? He was like, oh, not this week, not the week after.
The week after, so, yeah.
Give us a specific date, Jürgen, but you're right, you know, they have to be relatively vague with these things. I think the key one there is, and certainly, you know, I was saying this before with Jota, I think although it does put more pressure on the front three that you're playing because you've only got one in reserve that could sort of come on, at least, thank God, we've got those four remaining that you can still, to a certain degree, interchange. You know, if you get desperate, you've got Harvey Elliott as well. It's certainly a good option. But yeah, Alisson, it's the main one because he's absolutely irreplaceable, isn't he? Absolutely irreplaceable. And that's no disrespect to Kevin Keller. That just isn't. You can't make an Alisson easy. But the good news is I think the fixture schedule has been, I think, quite kind, I think you'd have to say. In this tricky sort of December period, you know, you're looking at, you know, he was never going to play the Europa League games, wasn't he? That's very much sort of Kelleher's competition. So you're really looking at the games that Ali's going to miss is going to be home to Fulham, Sheffield United and Crystal Palace. Don't get me wrong. You know, certainly I think Palace can be a bit of a banana skin at times, maybe not as much this season, but you'd be looking certainly at sort of the Fulham and the Sheffield United games and thinking Liverpool really should be winning that, you know, kind of regardless to a certain degree of who you've got in goal. So I think it's pretty kind. And then, like, you want Ali back for United, and then you're looking ahead really beyond United, aren't you? Because it's West Ham in the quarterfinals of the Carabao, and then you're home to Arsenal. So you wouldn't want that sort of set of fixtures in reverse, would you?
No, definitely not. I think that's, hopefully it landed very nice for us. And if Alisson's back earlier, and definitely not later, then of course we'll be very happy. But I think on the flip side of that, I think, of course, Klopp got asked about like Keller, and like you said, and Klopp said that it's the reason why we wanted Quiveen here. And I guess that's why, going back to the start of the season, where maybe he could have moved on. I guess there's moments like this where you need him to come in. And I guess some of the games he's played this year, I don't think he's covered himself in total glory at some of the saves he could have made or some of the stops he could have made. I still think he's great with the ball of his feet, but I feel like hopefully with a few games now, of course, Larsen and there's USG coming up, and like the other games that you mentioned, he'll be playing all of those games. So it's a good chance for him to come in and I guess not get back to the level that he's shown, but I think he's maybe shown a higher level in maybe the last year than he has in this year. I don't know why that is, maybe injuries and stuff. But it's a good opportunity for Kelleher to come in and maybe show is how good he is, because we know how good he can be.
Yeah, I think everyone's sort of looking at that Toulouse game almost, aren't they, saying, oh, he's dropped his level and this and that. But, you know, it's always going to be difficult when you're popping in every now and then and, you know, you don't really have a solid run of games. The good news that we can sort of take from this, you know, I'd like to be as glass half full about this as possible, is that, you know, this hasn't been an injury that's happened in training after the Europa League game or whatever. You know, we've got sufficient, not warning, but we know what the deal is going to be. Keller's coming into the Europa League game anyway, and then hopefully he can, you know, mentally prepare for the reality of starting and goal for Liverpool back in the league again. You know, whether you like it or not, you're going to be going into these ties against sort of Fulham and Sheffield, and you're not going to prepare for it in the same way you're going to prepare for a West Ham or for an Arsenal or for even United. You know, not that you're thinking you're going to waltz it, but I think the pressure that you're going to face is going to be significantly less. So I think, I mean, we have to remember that either way, you know, from the levels, as you pointed out, we have seen from Kevin, this is a very, very good backup keeper. you know, a very good backup keeper. I think probably, I think definitely, arguably, even sort of taking into account to a certain degree, maybe Arsenal, I suppose you could argue with Ramsdale, but definitely competing with as a second choice keeper. You know what I mean? You know, at least the second best second keeper in the league, which is such a weird thing to say, but that's how I feel about it. So the person, I imagine I wouldn't be alone there. So I think if we're going to have anyone sort of coming in, we're quite fortunate that it is Kelleher.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's not too far distant memory that Liverpool didn't have any good goalies. So the fact that we've got two now is, I guess, it is obviously a very positive thing. But I think just because the levels that Alisson sets, even in a game like City where he is kicking weren't the best, he still kept us in the game with massive saves. Even if he's having an off day, in inverted commas, he still has a massive influence on the game no matter what. And I feel like when you don't have that, the drop down of course is going to be huge, but hopefully the rest of the team can recognize that and maybe it can make them a bit more aware and to be a bit more protective of maybe people. I think the general rule seems like when people are getting shots off is don't get a touch on it because they don't want to deflect it, but I feel like maybe, I don't know if that changes if Keller isn't, you know, I don't know because Alisson is just so good at stopping shots, amazingly well, that ones that you just don't expect them to, and making it look easy. But yeah, hopefully this is a good run of games for Keller to come in, and hopefully he can show he's definitely got the quality, he just needs to show for us. And like you said, coming in and out every now and again and being behind number one in the world, I guess it's always going to be mentally a bit tough to constantly get yourself ready for those games. But to have a big chunk ahead of you, like 5-6 games, you can, I guess, you can focus on his performances a little bit more. Hopefully you can do that. And another player that Klopp asked about was Kostas Tsimikas, because I think rightly so, because I think me and Christian spoke on the last show about like him being a rhythm player and maybe not being quite used to being a number one at Liverpool because of the injury to Robbo. He's kind of been forced into the limelight a little bit more than he has been in the past. But yeah, Klopp said that he's needed rhythm, but he's it's not that he was flying since he came into the team, but he knows himself. He's a very important player for the team, and has been waiting to have a long run of games, which is something that he's now got, because we know Robertson's. I mean, like we said before, we don't know when Robbo's going to be back exactly, so it's going to be either Gomez or Tsimikas in that position, but more than likely it's going to be Tsimikas in the bigger games. But what have you made of him, and especially Brentford? I think before the international break, that was a two assists, that was me thinking, and I guess most of us thinking, that's the level we need, that we need that minimum level of both attack and quality into the running further into the opposition half like Robertson does, quality crosses in, and also the defensive nous as well, and the ability to be strong. And I loved one of the moments in the City game, I don't think I mentioned it on the last show, where it's going out for a throw in and he just absolutely barges Phil Foden out the way and runs down the line with the ball. And just little things like that, where we've seen that in the past when he's been a number two, but we haven't seen it as much when he's been a number one. And I think maybe the run of games now and a little bit more confidence in the locker, he can start to show that like a consistent level.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I think going into the City game, the talk fell a lot on sort of almost McAllister's shoulders. You know, there was a lot of talk about, you know, City is going to be the litmus test of how effective he is as the holding midfielder. And we have to understand, of course, first and foremost, that I'm going off on a bit of a tangent here, that the holding midfielder role has changed. It's less of the onus is on the six as it was with Fabinho. It's more on the team being compact and everyone working with their defensive duties. Very much the case with Tsimikas. You know, you have to view that game as a litmus test for what he can offer this Liverpool side. Now, don't get me wrong, if I had Robertson available right now, Robertson's going back in. But that Robertson's only going back in because he's arguably the best left-back in the league. That's not a slight on Tsimikas. In the same way, it's not a slight on Cleven Kelleher when we say, sorry, lad, you know, you're up against the best goalkeeper in the world. And he is the best goalkeeper in the world. So this is just the reality. And we're still blessed to have these talents in the squad, by the way. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm almost repeating things that I was saying during the sort of quadruple run to a certain degree, in that you get a sense that a side is capable, the squad is capable of winning trophies in a particular season when all the little cogs, all the mechanics of it are sort of working and in tune. You look at the players who haven't played a lot of games this season, say Harvey Elliott. He's come on, he's been brilliant when he's come off on the bench. He's been brilliant when he started in the cup games. Simic has you know, proved himself against, as you say, against Brentford, proved himself against currently the best side in Europe in Manchester City. That's not a fluke. You know what I mean? You have to be at the top of your game. You have to be a decent footballer. You can't just, this isn't just, you know, a one-off, as it were. So the evidence is there. And I think, like with Elliot, like with Tsimikas, you can see these players that are coming in. I've not even mentioned Joe Gomez, who's played almost a bit part role. Sat a slot in. Been a bit of a utility man, has, to be fair, hasn't he, this season? He's been slotted in where Klopp has needed him. Everyone is playing their role in this Liverpool squad. You look at this squad and you think, brilliant first 11, but what about the lads that come on? Even say, you know, I suppose it's a bit of a difficult argument in terms of who's the starter and who's the bench player between Curtis Jones and Gravenberch, but both have been brilliant when they came on. Gravenberch was fantastic when they came on against Manchester City. Jones, a little bit rusty. Appreciate I'm going on a bit of a tangent here, but the basic point is everyone is playing their part, and Tsimikas very much so as part of the, you know, the entire machine.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, very true. I think you need all your peripheral players and your players that are maybe reserves to throw an old term out there to kind of come in and do the job, especially like we want to be fighting on all fronts, like Europa League. And of course, we don't know who's going to drop down from the Champions League. What with the antics of last night with PSG and last minute penalties? And we'll see tonight, Man United against Galatasaray. It's going to be a very interesting one. I'll have to tune into that one because I think if they lose, they're out. So it's going to be, I mean, fingers crossed, we'll see. but let's move on to team prediction then, because I think there's, I mean, when I've just wrote mine down quickly, like the options that we have got, it is nice just to go through them and go, yeah, he's a certainty, he is, it's a great opportunity for this fella. What would you pick for your 11 for tomorrow?
In my head, I thought, you know, I think the first thing you do when you think of the Europa League, you think changes. There can be a lot of changes. But then I don't know whether, because perhaps Jürgen made quite a few changes for Toulouse. And I think it was still a team you put out and thought this team should still be able to get something. You've got firepower if need be. I think probably a few players might have let Klopp down a little bit. So I wonder if Klopp makes the changes, but whacks in another two there that you sort of think, oh, yeah, you know, that's a starter, as it were. I've gone for Kelleher, Tsimikas, Kwanzaa, Konate, Gomez at right back, then Endo, Gravenberch, Szoboszlai, and then up top, Diaz, Gakpo, and Salah. I did consider Doak, but I do wonder maybe whether he might look at Lask, and, you know, with all due respect to Lask, I think they're less of a competent outfit compared to Toulouse, and think we get something early here, you know, hopefully gamble on it a little bit and then take these players off at half time, whatever, and just sort of consolidate the lead. What do you end up going for?
Yeah, I think the same, pretty much, apart from Elliot in for Szoboszlai. So I think on that right hand side, you have Elliot. And then, yeah, I was toying with Doak because I think at home, I think it could be a good idea. But I think because of the events of the last game and, like you said, like him not being completely happy, and then of course the response to that after the game is, oh, we should have went more strong. And of course that's easy to say after the game when Liverpool don't perform well.
No one says it when it goes right, though, does it?
I know, of course. But I feel like that might have swayed his mind a little bit to go to do it the other way around, when he goes strong first, then bring players off the bench, the likes of Doak. If you're hopefully 2-0 up or 3-0 up, you can bring on the likes of Doak and players of that to get half an hour. But yeah, I feel like maybe if the Toulouse game would have went a little bit smoother and it wasn't like just a mad game, he might have just started a Doak, maybe a Chambers. But I think because of the way maybe we are in the table now, just to kind of secure it a little bit more would be to go kind of, yeah, strength. Because I mean, I want to talk about Konate a little bit, because I'm a little bit surprised that he's not been involved. And I think this is obviously, it's going to be a good chance for him to come back in. But have you been surprised? Like, I know we've mentioned Matip on recent shows and whatever, and whether he deserves maybe a new contract because of the performances he's been putting in. Of course, his contract ends in the summer and he'll be, I think he's 32, he'll be 33 next year. I mean, I don't know why I'm saying he's 32 now, he'll be 33 next year. That's just like basic maths. But yeah, Konate, it's a bit of a weird one, I think, because he's not injured. And I thought certainty he was coming in back in for City. I was convinced because of the whole Doku thing and him being one of the best in the world at like containing fast wingers. I mean, you only got to look at when we played Madrid and Vinicius Junior. He's been absolutely tremendous against players like that. So, but I guess it's a compliment again that Joel Matip stepped up to the plate and become the Joel of old and going on an adventure and being defensively strong and having rants at the referee and all those mad stuff that we love. But it's a bit of a, I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing to have all these options, but I feel like I'm surprised that Matip's winning that at this stage. But like I said, that's probably because Matip's performing so well.
No, spot on. I'd have gone with Konate too against City for what it's worth, especially when you think with Trent inverting. There was this whole thing about, you know, you need Konate's speed because he's effectively doing two roles at once when he's covering for Trent when we're in possession. So, yeah, I mean, I think, tell you what, Neil Jones actually put it best because he was sort of saying that, yeah, you could make the negative decision almost to play Konate and utilise his speed. And he's certainly, I think, overall, the stronger defender. And potential-wise, he will be a better defender. That's absolutely no disrespect to Matip. But you have to also think about what do you want to do when you have possession of the ball? And you know, Matip, his runs certainly against City from deep, they almost didn't know how to deal with it, did they? You can't undervalue that sort of trait and what that offers you sort of going forward. So I think then it just comes down to merit. And we know this is a meritocracy. Klopp runs a meritocracy. So on that basis, you kind of go, well, even Konate sort of back and fit, are you going to take out of a player who's you know, pretty well embedded in this back line? He's been performing well. He's just produced, you know, arguably his strongest performance of the season against Manchester City. Sure, of course, you know, take him out for the cup games. No problem with that. You're resting a few. But I'd be very, very, very surprised if he's not back in the first 11 come Fulham, Sheffield United, Palace, again, dependent on injuries, dependent on how his fitness is and all that jazz. So I'm not surprised he's been kept in. And I think as long as he can keep up these performances, then, you know, power to him. Keep going.
Yeah, I think, of course, it comes into it like the whole, like, Konate's injury record and stuff, I guess, where Klopp's been quite public in the past about him going to France and playing full 90s and whatever else. And you just like, why? Well, especially, and I guess we're probably trying to, yeah, tailor his involvement, which is a bit, it does concern me a little bit when there's a defender who's still quite young and you're having to do that. But I guess if it's for the good of him staying fitter for longer in seasons to come, when, of course, if he's alongside Virgil or whoever else, and maybe his latte is, and he's playing every game, like, hopefully this is what we're prepping him for, then it's for the best. But of course, I just love him though. And hopefully,
like, brilliant.
Tomorrow can be you can show just how good he is again, because yeah, he is just so good. So yeah, I think we're kind of unanimous there on team news, because I think like Nunes, yeah, probably deserves a rest. Gakpo came off the bench. Diaz, yeah, obviously hasn't played as much as he normally would because of circumstances. Thankfully, they're all resolved now. Doe can potentially come off the bench. But yeah, there's midfield options. Like you said, Gravenberch came off the bench against City and replaced a rusty Jones, like you said. Didn't perform anywhere near the level I expected them to, because I expected them to start Jones, but Gravenberch came on, and the whole glide and pass Rodri for the goal was just beautiful, wasn't it? Just beautiful.
The best holding midfielder on the planet as well. Yeah, you look at this, a Liverpool player whose career is in its infancy, and you've just done that to the, you know, if not the best holding midfielder on the planet, at least the best holding midfielder in the Premier League. It is absolutely special. The quality that we've got in this squad now, and particularly in midfield, is absolutely phenomenal. To be fair, we also have to credit Gakpo as well, because it's his driving run, you know, across the box that creates a space for Trent's goal as well. So you again came on for 17 minutes, played a pivotal role in the goal. So this is what we're saying. We talk about players like Tsimikas and Gomez, and everyone knows the score and everyone is contributing.
Yeah, massively. So yeah, it's mad, because when you start the season and you're looking at the fixtures and whatever, and you're like, oh, we've got, I don't know, two lose away, and then you've got last Grom. You're not looking at them going, I'm excited by them games, because you're like, I want to be in the Champions League.
Yeah.
But I think we discussed that on the last show that you were on, where you're like, it's a good thing in a weird way, because you're getting to see these players from maybe the start of games, maybe not in this one because of the previous game, but I guess in more of the games going on, you'll see the more of Jarrell Kwanzaa than you would have if you were in the Champions League. You see more of Ben Doak in this competition than you would do if you're in the Champions League. So it's a good opportunity to kind of get blood them in and get them the minutes that they need, ready for next season onwards, where we're hopefully back in the Champions League and moving forward. Comes to the best part of the show, lad, score prediction. No one cares, but we do it every time anyway.
Oh man. This is a hard one, isn't it? I do reckon like a 3-1 as well. I think we'll score first this time. I don't think it'll be like a mad, I mean, there might still be a mad last goal. Flecken,
yeah,
their scorer last time. Yeah, I think we'll score first. But yeah, it was unbelievable. You can't do much with those. I think we'll score first. But I think they'll get one in, I think. What about you?
Yeah, I'll take that. If we win, we go on 12 points. To lose, of course, play USG. So if they win, they stay 2 points behind us. So, I mean, yeah, it's, again, does that qualify us if we win tomorrow? I haven't done my maths on this, but
I think we qualify at least. I think ideally we want USG to get something. If they get something out of that game, we automatically top the group.
Yeah.
And then we can, you know, play an absolute piss take of a team against USG when we, I think we have to go over to Belgium, don't we? So, so ideally we want to see USG get a result there, and then we can kind of be a bit more sort of, not lax, but, you know, a bit less anxious about that. I'm literally just trying to find the fixture list now, because I'm trying to see where the USG game falls just before United. So you think in that period of a week between playing at Palace and then hosting United, be nice if you could play a bit of a weaker team against Union, couldn't you? And then rest some legs. And I mean, you never know, really, because obviously momentum being such a big thing for Klopp, he might just still go ahead anyway and feature a few of the big guns. But be nice. It'd be a relief.
It would. Well, let's just hope for a Kevin McAllister goal. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? So we'll leave it there. Farrell, thanks very much for jumping on. I always appreciate it. But before we do go, I just want to give a shout out to one of our partners, Jack Design. So if you, of course, didn't want to mention the C word, Christmas, but it is the 29th of November. So of course it is getting closer. If you are in the market for some Christmas stuff, and even if you're not in the market for Christmas stuff, birthday stuff, whatever you're after, get yourself over to jackdesign.uk/shop. Loads of stuff on there, calendars, t-shirts, mugs. There's loads of new Klopp stuff, which if you're not following on Twitter, then you should be, because there's so many good Adidas Klopp stuff. We've got our own one coming out with them soon. Bit of an exclusive there for you. It's going to be like a Klopp Copite type amalgamation. Lovely stuff, which will be coming out, I don't know when, but soon. So that's exciting. But if you find some lovely stuff on there, you want to add it to your basket, you want to buy it, you want to get it all done, you will get 10% off. So if you enter the code COPITE10 on your checkout, you'll automatically get a nice little 10% off, and then off you go. Jackdesign.uk/shop. If you don't remember that, just go over to our link tree. It's on there. Just click on it, and then it's pretty easy to go through it all. But yeah, thanks, Farrell. We will leave it there. Thanks again for jumping on, and congrats again on the award. Lovely stuff.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you jumping on, lad.
No, pleasure. Pleasure.
Yeah, nice one. And yeah, of course, thanks to you guys for listening. We'll see you all very soon. Up the Reds.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the COPITE podcast.
Social Podcast Network.